Somebody's hangry.
All right. Easter morning. And here we are. It's getting to be that time of year. It's looking really nice out, too, folks. And after these last couple days of lots of wet, and I'm not saying the wet's going away, but at least it's not coming down. It's getting to be that time of year. And folks, it will warm up. Have faith. It will warm up. And you know what that means? It's also getting to be that other time of the year where you'll see folks out strolling around town, riding bikes around town or whatever, probably already doing it. But whenever you're doing, or you know, it's time also to, it makes me think, it's time to spend some time around a water bank somewhere, I think, you know, whether it's the ocean, that sounds really good, doesn't it? The lake, the river, pond, whatever. Around a campfire, which is one of my personal favorites. But if you're doing any of these activities where there's a couple of you or more, what are you bound to be doing sooner or later? You're going to talk about something. Yeah, exactly. If for no other reason than just to kill the awkward silence, right? I remember years ago, I was working in Lima, and my boss had to take a trip to Michigan to one of our plants up there, and he went with another guy. And all of a sudden, the guy just asks him, says, "Hey, do you like Wheaties?" And my boss is like, "What?" He goes, "I hate silence." And he was just trying to find something to break the silence, you know? Well, what is this? All right, now I gotta go back to my notes. Thanks. But you're gonna be talking about something, right? And who knows what, but it's gonna be something. And this morning, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. Because we're going to be talking about the walk to Emmaus. And we're going to go through this entire passage. There is a lot of scripture here. We're going to get through it. But it's something that I'd never covered for Easter before. And I'm like, this is so Easter. So we're gonna cover it this morning. And we're going to see how that we're going to talk about what Easter morning, what it meant to these guys, and we're going to talk about what it still means for us. So our scripture is Luke 24, beginning at 13 through 35. And that's on page 72 of the New Testament section of your pew Bibles, if you want to turn there. I do have the scripture up here. So it says, "That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And when he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?' And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth.'" He was like, duh. You know, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things had happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us." I think I missed a passage in there. Let me find it here. Yep. "We hoped he had done this. Moreover, they amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen visions of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it was towards evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. You know, check out these two dudes. I mean, I don't know that they're from Emmaus, but you know, they're on their way. And we only know one of them by name, this Cleopas. You know, it's right here in verse 18. This is the only time he's named in the entire Bible. You know, you do a search in there, this is the only time you'll find his name. I was digging through the commentaries a little bit, and it said, no, these guys were not one of your more famous disciples. I'm like, his name's right there. And we're still talking about it some 2,000 years later. I'd say he's noted enough. You know, he's definitely a noted one. But so he's not very well known, and he's only mentioned here. Only one of them is mentioned. And they were there when the women came to the disciples to tell them about the empty tomb and about the angels. You know, in this very next verse, where we're talking about verse 24, he says, some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it. You know, so he's like, we were there. So there were some of the disciples of that one group. Isn't it interesting the way that God chooses to reveal himself? I want to think back to when God chose to reveal the Christ child. Who did he go to reveal to? The shepherds out on the hills. You know, not the most awesome guys in society, at least by society's standards, you know. And then when he revealed the empty tomb, he revealed it to the women first. Right? They went to the tomb and he wasn't there. And the angels said, he's not here. Go tell him that he's going to see you in Galilee. But on their way back, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, you know. And they went back to tell the disciples, and the disciples blew him off for telling idle tales. That's what my scripture says. Babbling would be another way of putting it, you know. But something didn't feel right, or felt totally right maybe, to Peter and John, because they got up and ran. You know, so we've got him revealing himself to the shepherds, revealing himself to the women, and now just to these two obscure guys on the way to Emmaus, away from Jerusalem. Said it was a 7-mile walk, you know? So these guys are walking to Emmaus, probably going home from the Passover festivities. 7 miles. How long would that take to walk? Anybody know? Average walking speed I saw was for an older individual. I don't know what an older individual was, but it said older individual, 2.8 miles an hour. And for a younger individual, which is younger than older anyway, it's like 3.4. So we'll say 3 mile an hour, all right? Just for, what, 2.5 hours? Who can talk for 2.5 hours? That was my wife, y'all. All right. So, they just came from Jerusalem. I'd say they had plenty to talk about, right? Just the last few days gave them enough. Yeah, I set you up. So, you know, they had enough to talk about to keep them busy for this 2.5 hour trip to Emmaus. I mean, it's not like they could jump in the buggy and, you know, drive on up there. So they had plenty of time to stroll around and talk. When was the last time? Okay, they had their subject matter was pretty well fixed, right? Jesus. Everything was centered around Jesus. When was the last time you sat down or walked or sat around a campfire, fished, riding, whatever, and just spent 2.5 hours talking about Jesus? And I'm not talking about being preached to or taught, whatever. I'm talking about just like conversation. Because the really neat thing is when you do that, just like in this case here, Jesus shows up when you're talking about him. They're just strolling along, minding their own business, talking about Jesus, and he shows up. Hey, what are you guys talking about? What do you mean, what are we talking about? What else is there to talk about? I had the some classes where I had to, long classes, like 6 hours a day, and nothing but that kind of talk, and it's like, it's so refreshing. And then I was riding back and forth to school with another pastor, so he was stuck in a car with me for an hour both ways, and Christina, that's what we talked about. And there's something awesome about that, and he does show up, because you know what, just like in here, when he shows up, he makes sure that the conversation stays on him. So what are you guys talking about? What do you mean, what are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. Are you the only one that hasn't heard this? Jesus who? Well, let me tell you. And then Jesus goes, let me tell you. He starts leading and guiding the conversation, and it's just it's a tremendous feeling, to come across something like that. I mean, there was no competition for topics. Jesus was the only thing on their mind. Where was I at here? Because somewhere in here. Anyway, Matthew, when we get into Matthew, he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also, right? So it only takes a few people that want to talk about him for him to show up and be part of that conversation. And he will lead it and guide it. And our conversation might be like these guys. They didn't know that this was Jesus. For some reason, whether it be his glorified body, or he just didn't want to see it, or he didn't want them to know who he was, or something. They didn't know it was Jesus. And sometimes when we're talking about Jesus and about subjects like that, the conversation just takes on a life of its own. It's like we might not even realize that he's there. But something just feels so right. And that's the way it was with these guys. Something just felt so right. He showed up and he says, what kind of things are we talking about? He says, well, let me tell you. And when Jesus shows up and he's talking about that conversation, folks, we've been having this conversation for over 2,000 years, and it's just as fresh today as it was back then. It's just as fresh today. For many of us, it's so fresh because we haven't heard it before. We haven't talked about it before. We haven't, had the time to just sit down and just bask in that presence. And it needs to happen. We're still talking about this 2,000 years later. And like these two disciples, we can be, like them, where they have this misunderstanding of what Jesus is all about. Their misunderstanding was that Jesus was going to be, he was the Messiah that they were waiting on, but they were waiting on him to be their earthly king and kick the Romans out and, take over and free them from this bondage, just like God used Moses to do to get them out of Egypt, that kind of thing. They were looking for something huge and miraculous. They got it, but they didn't see it. Now, we're blessed. And we have the opportunity that we have history on our side to see that. But still, people, we can have that same problem where we don't understand. And when Jesus comes into the conversation and he starts steering it in the right direction, say, points you at the right scripture, points you to the right person to have these conversations with. Or if it's another person that you're already having these conversations, let them challenge you. He shows up, he says, oh, you foolish ones. Where is that scripture? Right there it is. You ever felt like Jesus is saying this one to you? You're trying to work through a piece of scripture, and he's like, oh, you foolish ones. Haven't you got this figured out yet? I know I have. And then he started with the law and Moses. He says, let me show you me. Although he didn't say me. He didn't let them know it was him yet, right? Let me show you everything concerning the Messiah here in the scriptures. He used the scriptures that they knew so well to say, this is why this had to happen. This is why he showed up. This is why he had to be beaten. This is why he had to be mocked. He went through the Psalms. He went through the prophets. He says, this is why he had to, people had to gamble for his clothes. It was written in Scripture. Son of Man had to be lifted up, put in the tomb 3 days. He says, are you getting it now? He says. He took over the conversation and says, let me explain it to you. Let me show you about me. And it's still another reason to keep having these conversations is let Jesus take the lead. Now, realize that when Jesus says this, oh foolish ones, you know, it's to correct us. It's to bring us in line with this. You know, if we do this to each other, it's more of a judgmental type thing. You know? This could be casting stones at each other. You know, let Jesus have that conversation and lead that way. You know, this isn't a phrase for us to be thrown around at each other. But, well, just don't. We've all been there, though. So wouldn't you love to know what scripture he was giving them and that conversation that he had with them? Makes me wonder how long the conversation was, okay, that these guys, well, let me tell you what happened. It's a 2.5-hour trip. And how much of that did Jesus get, you know? And I want to know what that conversation was all about. I mean, we didn't know what it was about, but what was it? It's not documented for us. Because he gives us what we need. He gives us that curiosity. And he says, you know what? Go look for it yourself. It's right here. Somewhere. One of these books. Still, I would love to know that. You know, he took them through the scriptures. He interpreted it for them. He showed them how it all pointed to him. And how amazing would that be? And folks, where two or three are gathered, there I am also. And he's there leading if we just let him lead. Now, when they came to the end of their trip, you know, Jesus said he was going to move on. They're like, hey, it's getting late in the day. Why don't you just stay with us? Come on. Hang out with us for a while. And then as they were eating, he took the bread. And he blessed the bread. And he broke the bread. And he gave it to them. And as soon as he gave the bread to them, their eyes were opened. And he vanished like that. Could you imagine going, wait! Have you ever had one of those aha moments when you're going through scripture and it's just like, ah, that's it. He gave these guys exactly what they needed. Look, the scripture says they were sad. They were broken. They were distraught and everything like that. And then he brought them back with his word. You know, he gave them what they wanted, and then he's like, he let them see him for a split second, is the way it almost sounds in Scripture. And he's like, I gave you what you needed, I'm needed somewhere else. You know, he's God, he can be wherever he wants to be, but, you know, my work is done here. And they packed up and ran back. I wonder how long that trip took back to Jerusalem. I bet it wasn't 2.5 hours. But, you know, they hightailed it back. But then the best part is, it says, didn't our hearts burn within us while he was leading us through the scriptures? Wasn't there something different about this guy? I want to share something with you. I got permission to do this. I was talking with a friend of mine here recently, and he sat me down, and he's telling me, you know, stuff going on. Guy's got some tough stuff going on in his life, okay? And then all of a sudden he just stops and he's like, he really had to collect himself. I mean, I'm thinking, that's never good. It's never good news. You know, he's just like, and he's just blown. And then he goes, he was just minding his business one day at work. And he says it felt like somebody took him by the hand. And all he felt was warmth going up his arms. And the guy starts crying on me. He's like, nothing that he had ever felt before. And he says, it felt like I was lifted up. And I was already working on today's message, and I'm burning within me. And I'm like, dude, can I use this? He goes, you know, give me the thumbs up, Christina. I got the thumbs up from him. She doesn't like when I text her thumbs up. Can you imagine? I mean, here I am. I'm taking this in from my friend, you know, and I'm like, and he says he talked to another friend about this, and he goes, dude, I could totally tell something happened, and it freaked him out. But he said it was just like such calm, and he's like, it's like Jesus was hugging me, and I'm like, burning within me. Folks, it's still as real today as it was 2,000 years ago. The word moves. I know how much time this guy is spending on his knees and with other brothers, you know? And the Spirit just moved. It still moves today. It lifted him up and just calmed him. He doesn't know if his life is falling apart or not, and he's got this peace that it's like, dude, what is the matter with you? Do you know what's happening? God's got it, he says. It's really the most amazing thing to be on this side of it and looking at him going, yes. So I did ask permission because I'm like, I don't want to use that. He goes, do it. You know, so what opened their eyes? What opened his heart? What opened, you know, Jesus did. He gave them what they needed. He gave this guy what he needed. There's that spark. There's that peace that passes understanding. And these guys went from sad to probably making that 2.5 mile trip in half an hour. I don't know. But, you know, 7 mile trip, sorry. Did our hearts not burn within us? So Jesus came to show us and teach us how to live. He came to die, and in dying, paid for the sins of the world. He gave himself for us so that sin would have no grip on us. That grip on this guy had nothing to do with sin, had nothing to do with death, and had everything to do with the Spirit. And Jesus left that grave behind so that we would have that same hope, that the grave would have no grip on us. That we would have an eternity with him and our brothers and sisters in this great family of God and in heaven. And Jesus, just like those guys, just like my friend, Jesus gave him exactly what we need. Jesus gave us Jesus in the end. And he's still doing it. Whenever I talk about Scripture and I said Jesus did or Jesus was, I always put a slash is. When I'm writing it out, and I try to say was, is. Because you know what? He was and he still is. And he's still giving us Jesus. We have but to reach out and take it. So let's pray for that. Exactly that thing right now. Father, we thank you so much for your Spirit and for these men that we're talking about today. These two in the Scripture and my friend, Father, and the examples here. I ask for those leading conversations about you and that presence of you along leading and guiding these conversations. And that Jesus may be welcome into those conversations. That the Scripture may be opened to us and are open into our heart, that we may soak it in. And Father, I pray for that burning of your presence in our hearts, inside us as we're going through that. That want, that need, that desire. We have the hope, we have the promise, we have the faith. But help us never let that fire and that burning go out. Help us always remember to keep it lit so that we may share that burning desire for Jesus with others and pass it on. We thank you for that empty grave. We thank you for the hope and the promise and the security that we can take in it, knowing that we have you to look forward to for eternity. And as Pastor Keith mentioned this morning, those riches in heaven, those riches are you. That time with you, that presence, your presence, that's what we have to look forward to, and we can't wait. But we do. So as we do wait, Father, give us that strength and that courage to reach out and do your will, to do your bidding, to be your ambassadors, and to share you with as many people as we can. Help us in this, lead us in this, guide us in this. In Jesus' name, amen.